Tonight's Big Brother Canada recap on Rob as a podcast is sponsored by our friends over at P-Touch Pro by Brother. The P-Touch Pro label maker enables you to organize like a pro, creating durable labels that help identify your electrical and telecom wires and cables, workspace gear, and more. The P-Touch Pro features convenient one-touch keys that make labeling fast and easy. Use over 300 symbols to help declutter your electrical wiring, workshop, toolbox, garage, storage, and more. P-Touch Pro tackles hobbies too. Organize your camping, hunting, fishing, and sporting gear, and it's easy to use wherever your projects take you, featuring a detachable wrist strap and portable design. Choose from an assortment of exceptionally durable Brother P-Touch label tapes for all your labeling needs. Tackle your toughest labeling jobs with the P-Touch Pro label maker, only from Brother. For details, visit ptouchprobybrother.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the least spicy man alive, Rob Cesternino. Everybody, welcome back to Monday night here on Rob's Podcast, talking about B&B Canada. And we have such a great panel here to talk about tonight's episode. So pumped up to be back here again on a Monday night. To talk about Big Brother. I have so many questions that I've put together all week long, and I can't wait to ask. But the man who never gets a day off, it's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Very excited to be here with Jerpt. That's Jenny, Rob, Puya, Taryn. Rolls off the tongue. And I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, Jerpt is the noun. That's not like, it sounds more like if you were going to like, Jerpt is something that would happen to you.
I don't know. I think Jerpt is it sounds like you might, it might be something Kiefer does during a competition to chirp somebody, but with jerps.
Okay. All right. We'll make it happen. All right. Yeah. Get ready for the incoming jerps tonight. Of course, I'm very excited to be podcasting for the second time today with this man. It's Puya Zamakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing lovely, Rob. I feel like very similar to Victoria. I didn't really answer anything until the end, and now I'm here to hang out with my friends. I'm very happy to sit down and talk about what was a great start to a great week of Big Brother.
Okay, yes. Lots to go over, of course. Very excited to have back with us. It is the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to be here, but I feel like maybe I don't deserve to be here. I said Puya's name, and so it just doesn't feel right to be here. So you should actually just kick me off of this podcast. Yeah. Okay. I think that would be the honorable thing to do. Doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Your kids would appreciate that.
Yes. My cat would be very disappointed to see me here after what I've said.
All right. We're excited to hear from you as well in the chat tonight. If you got questions, of course, you can send them to us on Twitter. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take some questions later on in the show as we are rolling along here in what a Big Brother Canada season. Taryn, there's so much joy in Big Brother land.
There is, yes.
We're not used to this.
We're not, you know, and I was saying before the season, like the Big Brother fans, they need a good season. They deserve a good season. They need a break. And we're finally getting one.
Well, things were bleaker a week ago where it was like, oh, it looked like one side of the house, that was going to start. Sunsetters were starting to maybe run away with this thing. Austin's HOH not going so great. But we said, there have been times where the Big Alliance sort of like got out of the gate hot and then fell apart. It hadn't happened recently, but it did used to happen.
Yeah, it used to happen. And I think a key ingredient here is that the team twist ended at just the right time for things to really catapult into a whole new level here, because this was an implosion the likes of which we have not seen probably since Fauté.
Okay. All right. Good start. All right. So a lot to talk about here tonight. We're going to talk about the episode first, and then we'll catch up on everything that's going on here in an exciting week of Big Brother. As Victoria said tonight, it is...
This was one hell of a week.
One hell of a week. One hell of a week. Great sound drop for tonight. All right. So, Puya, we got we have a little flashback to right before the vote. We got to see the last minute of vote wrangling of we saw Kiefer trying to and Toya trying to whip up the votes. Ultimately, it didn't end up happening. And so Kiefer tried to do some last minute damage control and make it seem like that, oh, it was Victoria who was the one trying to flip the vote.
Yeah, we say damage control, but to me, I feel like Kiefer was fine. This was kind of akin to he's in the lead on Mario Kart and then threw a banana forwards and then landed on it himself for no reason. It couldn't have been timed perfectly. The fact that he did that 5 minutes left before the live eviction. I did like that we got this flashback. I like that we got the 30, the 15 interval, the 5 minute interval. So this was a great way to start the episode for me. I was very keen to see this today.
Yeah. Karen, was any of this new information based on when the feeds went down for Thursday, or was this stuff that was sort of retold on the feeds?
It was, I mean, we heard about this, but for me at least, it was a lot of detail that actually was important and sort of changed how I've seen the last few days on the feeds. Mostly in that it makes a lot more sense now how the Sunsetters were so exposed. Beth and Kiefer in particular were people that should have been able to keep their part in all of this secret. But we saw the conversation that Beth reference on the feeds with Austin in the storage room where they were talking about the vote, and Austin was like, "Don't you screw me on this." Like, clearly they caught Beth running around. Clearly Jed and Ty got caught running around. That's why Austin doesn't trust them anymore. And Kiefer's, the whole thing with Kiefer and Vic, we were kind of thinking, well, that's because Kiefer found out that Vic ratted them out to Kyle and Ro, but actually it was this, and then it blew up into what it did, and that's how they realized that Kiefer is fully on board with Toya, because he was trying to cover for her, and that's how everything happened, that's how the other side got the knowledge that they did, and that's really how the whole Sunsetter Alliance blew up.
Imagine getting, like, you know, context on the episode that actually, like, filled in some blanks as opposed to, like, things that are just not even pertinent to the storyline whatsoever. I don't even know what to make of this. But
it's almost like the show is worth something right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buy stocks of the show right now.
Yeah. Jenny, what's going on with Kiefer? Because it seems like that, you know, he's playing hard enough here where before the HOH, he's trying to, you know, cover his tracks. To by the end of the episode, it seems like he's falling on his sword.
This has kind of been like a theme of him. Like he, you know, he wants to be there. He's a fan, but he does until things are not going well. And that's when he kind of gets down on himself and you know, his morals are getting in the way and all of this. And Kiefer is messy, but the whole cast is messy. But we're just, a lot has happened over, you know, through the flip that he made a huge mess of last week, among other people. And I think that, you know, he does want to be there and he does want to play. But when anything kind of stands in his way, he just kind of is like the good guy in him gets, you know, brought up and he's like, oh, these people, you know, I did the worst thing, even though everyone was, you know, in on this flip. And it was just like, I don't know, he just falls on his sword. And it's an interesting thing to see because there is a part of him that's like really trying to play, but he just gets discouraged very easily.
Yeah. Puya, Kiefer, I had super high hopes. I took him 3 in the draft. I was like, oh, this guy, he's a fan. He's going to come in there. He loves the game. He's up for this. Great personality. Everybody's going to love him. But I really was feeling like by the end of this episode, like, what are you doing, Kiefer? What is this?
I feel like, yeah, if you're a fan of the show, I feel like all of us can speak to this. We've pictured the playing in our heads. We pictured how we would do in our heads. I personally am amazing in my head. Number one. Right. If I get in the house and I'm kind of in the bottom of this thing and I'm struggling. I'm on the block a couple of times. I was the captain of a losing team that's just getting pummeled. Like, I think it shoots on the confidence more and more and more. And like, think about it. He hasn't done anything right outside of being in the Sunsetters, right? So he makes this move 5 minutes to go. That flops as well. So you're in a position where you're like, I can't do anything right. And now I'm in this position where, you know, all I can save is my pride in front of my kids. That's always a great thing to fall back on, is like, I should do this for my image now, for my kids, show them that I'm like the best, you know, man I can be. Then you're in that position where you have no choice but to fall back on that. But he, like Jenny said, he's very hills and valleys. He'll like win the veto, get confident, try to employ stuff. Then things go wrong and he just becomes Eeyore and he's just gloomy and sad all over.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I feel bad for him, but also he kind of does it to himself more than anybody.
Taryn, what do you make of Kiefer? And did he swear on his kids?
I don't recall if he swore on his kids. I don't think he did. But I think this is partly something that I've touched on before, which is that like, Kiefer's role in the Alliance is one where he feels like he doesn't have a ton of value. He's not really treated like he has a ton of value. When he won the veto, it was like, oh, pat on the back. We're so proud of you, Kiefer, for actually doing something and we didn't really expect you to. And his opinion doesn't really matter. He pitches the idea of flipping the vote and nobody bites. Then Ty does and everyone's like, oh, maybe. And he's, I think, a very, like, very loyal guy. Like, he's a family man. He's very, you know, true to his culture and his roots. Like that means a lot to him. And so this alliance means a lot to him. And I think that as somebody who feels like he needs to prove himself and needs to contribute and add value to the alliance, when he feels like I screwed this up, it's my fault that we're here. Like I deserve to have to take one for the team for you guys, because this is the only way I can provide value to you now.
Yeah, it's big figurehead energy. Like he feels responsible, like the father of the team or something.
Yeah. I don't want to speak for Jerp here, but yeah, I hope he does take one for the team that he can. If he goes out this week, then I feel like that, especially compared to LaToya, who wants to be there, wants to play hard, like Kiefer can go. I think that's an acceptable loss for this season.
Yeah,
that'd be fine.
Not going to argue.
Fine.
Yeah, you get into Jerp cosign here. Yeah.
Jerp cosign.
Yeah.
So, all right. Then we get to the HOH challenge. And so it comes down to it's Kiefer versus Vic. And Taryn, this is like a great matchup. This was like you couldn't have scripted this better.
Yes. There were a lot of people in my chat when we were watching saying that it's Christmas again.
Yeah.
Both Vic and Kiefer, but Kiefer, two of the three wins he had were ones that the other person screwed up. Vic, three of the four wins that she had were the other person messed up. But they both made it to the end. And it's a world of difference apart for these two as HOHs.
Yes. And we say Christmas again. It's not like, ooh, more good things for us. You're talking about the actual house guest from Big Brother 22.
Yes. House guest Christmas, who never got a single question right and just got the HOH.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, it is a gift to us that it did come down to this and the tension that brought. So
yeah,
it is kind of like Christmas as well.
And Puya, this came right after we saw that Kyle tells Victoria that Kiefer was the one trying to flip it, which is also going to loom large when we're going to see Kiefer called out.
Yeah, like I mentioned how I think Kiefer had bad luck and did this to himself 5 minutes to go. Kyle, on the other hand, had the complete opposite, where he threw in a really, really good piece of information that will benefit him in the long run right before this HOH happens. And it couldn't have ended up being better for him. Like it's just cherry on top that Victoria ends up facing Kiefer at the end as like the final boss as well. This was all good for Kyle. From the minute he left that ball pit all the way to the end of this HOH, Kyle was on a rise.
Yeah. All right. So Victoria gets to be the HOH. Jenny, we got a lot of talk about Victoria as a spicy V. Why is Victoria spicy V?
Well, I mean, She's got some spice to her. I my interpretation of why she became Spicy V is because of the Toronto Raptors basketball player Pascal Siakam, who goes by Spicy P. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, it's a play on Spicy P, Spicy V. And so that's where I thought it came from.
Okay.
This is the Canadian insight.
She's a Raptors fan, perhaps.
Yes, as a Raptors fan, yes.
She's from Hamilton.
I get that. Does she wear a headband? No.
Okay. Like Pascal.
Like okay. Siakam.
Well, she does sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, because Taryn, she says at one point...
Grab a tall glass of milk, Canada.
Yeah. Wait, is that because that she's so spicy that milk is what you have after some spicy food?
Yes, well, and she understands.
Also, you could probably also grab some pizza with it, but yes, also because of the spiciness.
Yeah. Wait, how come she didn't get spicy nuggets from Wendy's?
Listen, that's a mystery to us. Do we have
the you do not have the spicy nugs.
Well,
we
how do you have Korean barbecue cheeseburger, but you don't have spicy nuggets?
We just get different things than you guys, and we don't get some of the cool stuff you guys get. I don't know. Keeping it spicy, except for not.
Yeah. Taryn, has it been talked about in Big Brother Twitter that Spicy V has a necklace that is a V that looks like she has won a very tiny power of veto, like the one that Devon won, but the Canada version? Does anybody talk about that?
I have not noticed that, no.
Did she get it off of eBay? Is it the actual
Her little tiny V necklace is like a little miniature replica of the Power of Veto from Canada.
I wish she would have not worn this till about now so that people would panic and think it was actually a Power of Veto. Because I think a lot of people would have had their head spinning. That would have been fun. Maybe it's not.
I opened one of the balls from the ball pit, actually, and it was just in there. I don't know.
And she's like, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it this week. Okay? Like, oh, no. Oh, no. Spicy V has a veto. Okay. All right. So we heard about... Okay. Taryn, is the bossy glossies a real thing?
I mean,
I've never heard this I've never seen this on Twitter. I've never heard about this on the live feed updates.
It's a real thing in the way that the dolls were a real thing, right?
Yeah.
They get along and they are, you know, theoretically working together. Do I think it's like a thing that will last forever? No, I think unless they like go on a comp run and they happen to be in the end together and they call them, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that like, I don't expect it to be referenced very often.
I think it'll be similar to the dolls in that, you know, Brayden and Austin might be the only two that make it out alive.
Right. I said this morning that a couple weeks from now, when Victoria is evicted from the game, the following week, Austin and Brayden will be like, Victoria, who? We were never really that close, actually.
That wasn't a thing. Yeah, she made that up.
Yeah. What's a better alliance name? Bossy Glossy or Jerped?
Obviously Jerped.
Jerped. Yeah. For sure. All right. We got to see
it.
Kyle and Ro. We're going to basically give a two-on-one to Kiefer and Puya, that Kyle and Ro were so pumped up after this. They felt like we like good cop, bad cop, or bad cop, bad cop them.
Just bump.
Yeah. They were so pumped up of their interrogation of Kiefer.
Yeah, there's nothing more masculine, quite like teaming up with your buddy against someone who's sitting there quietly just taking whatever you're dishing and just be like, yeah, you know, like playing the game, it happened. Kyle was big puff in his chest. I mean, let's remember, like, Kiefer's in the pits right now. He just did this to himself.
Not the ball pits.
No. The worst case scenario, he wishes
he lied.
Yeah. The worst case scenario happened for him in this HOH, whereas for Kyle, kind of the best thing that could have happened. So he's on a high, he's on a low, and this clash is not worth it. Having both of them stand there up against him and, like, go after him kind of makes no sense because, like, what are you there to gain from this? But also, they've kind of been, like, Ro was in a position where he got worried that he might go, right? So he's also riding a high. They were big time feeling themselves. It's very funny because I think a lot of people saw them as the underdogs semi-recently. it's very hard to look at how they behave and think that's big underdog energy. It is not. It is not. You can't root for them as underdogs. You just can't.
The other thing is that, like, Kiefer's face during this thing, it's like he's like grinning, like he has like the awkward grin where it's like it's very obvious that he's like fumbling over his words and like, you know, lying, and then just keeps defaulting back to like, oh, I was playing Big Brother. And it's just like, at that point, it's like there's no reason to continue this conversation because you already know what the situation is. There's no need to like continue hashing it out and like punching down at him. You know, you it's very obvious that he's trying to cover his tracks and is doing a poor job of it. So it's just like, just you won this situation.
Yeah.
Like, be happy about that and then just like go on with it.
This would have been a very different conversation if Kiefer had won the HOH.
Absolutely.
Not only in content, but also in tone.
Yeah. He's just playing Big Brother. He's just playing Big Brother, and he was with them, and he was playing Big Brother, and that's it. And like, all right, let's leave it alone, guys. All right, you got me. You got me. All right, just playing Big Brother. I have a question, Jenny. This is something that, is this a thing in the Big Brother house, or is this a thing in the rest of the world? And I've just never seen anybody's from the waist down in a year. I notice a lot of people have their pants legs rolled up high, like they were like going to be wading through, you know, 8 inches of water at some point.
Now, are we talking about in the HOH competition? Because those were given outfits. I don't know if you realize, but they were all color coordinate. None of them were wearing the outfits they wore during the eviction. They were all like blue and green coordinated. Everyone wore something different. It looked like regular clothes. It literally looked as if they were all got together and said, let's wear blue and green. And everyone just tried to find something close enough. It wasn't a coordinated costume where everyone wore the same thing. It was very strange. So I assume that these were given to the house guests to wear. Like, you know, they've got their size and they decided that the short pants are a thing. But it really is like a thing. I mean, I'm not going out and seeing people. So I don't even know what's in fashion like right now besides track pants because pandemic life. But I remember watching like Love Island over the summer, and that was another thing, was all the men had like the skinny ankle pants with like no socks with their shoes. And so it was like that boat look.
So
I feel like that was kind of the look they were going for with the HOH comp, because it was like, it was vacation themed or whatever. So maybe that's what they were going for. And that's why everyone got the short skinny pants, the ankle pants. Thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a thing.
I do see some.
It's a thing.
It is. Says it's a thing.
Roll up the bottom of your pants. Yeah, it's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is a thing. Yeah, but I don't know.
I
necessarily know that they all do that.
And I
know.
Yeah.
But okay. They were given that.
Boy. All right. All right. There's a lot to think about now.
You know what, Rob? Next time you put some pants on, roll try it out.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Or you can just buy the pants that aren't like, they're just shorter. They're a shorter inseam and they just sit at like the ankle bone.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make them that way as well. You don't even have to roll them yourself. You just put them on and they're at the right level from the jump.
The roll is better though.
Taryn, I noticed, so Arissa came on during the episode and she said, hey, Big Brother, you can vote for somebody to not be on slop this week. You cannot be vote for somebody to not be a have not. Is there a lot of chatter about who people are voting for to not be a have not? Because isn't the show like 4 days after like when people have already been have nots? Like, when are they going to announce who's
like
not going to be a have not?
Well, I have been monitoring this poll very closely, Rob.
Yes.
There are 8 hours left in the poll, which means that this is not going to happen until tomorrow, which is Tuesday. Which means they're going to have like a nice like 2 days of not being on slop, I guess.
When's the slop like expiration usually? Is it like the night of eviction after the eviction?
Yeah, and that's when she named them, right? So typically that's when it would be. And as of right now, with about 3,500 votes, Brayden is in the lead with just a slight lead over Austin.
He got Wendy's too.
Yeah. Okay.
Great and all the food.
Yeah, he's getting all the breaks from the slop.
Okay. So we see Kiefer and LaToya sort of like lamenting their bad position in the house. Puya, there's some talk about the Sunsetters. They have the numbers. This is something that, you know, like earlier in the week, definitely heard Taryn talking about this, that for the Sunsetters, when the nominations are coming in, as long as two of them don't go on the block, they'll be okay.
Yeah. So long as one, they only need one person to not be from them on top, and they can outnumber the votes and be fine and survive if they don't win. That's why they were in such a crushing power, especially with the teams and everything. They just had control in every angle. And even when the teams go, they still had the shot. If, big if, they were able to overcome this. But look who won HOH. And then how are you going to navigate this one now?
Mm-hmm. Taryn, that I know this is like going into the rearview mirror in terms of last week. Why didn't the flip against Roe ultimately happen?
It was a mess. So the entire day leading up to the entire day prior to the vote, Kiefer is the one that came up with the idea for the flip. He approached Josh and said, "You should approach these people, most of which were Sunsetters, for the flip." And so he did so. Toya was convinced at that point that she does want to make the flip happen, especially because Kiefer is telling both Toya and Tina that Ro and Kyle are coming after them. Tina, feeling like she can't trust Ro or Kyle, is also willing to go with the flip, but they're concerned, Tina's concerned in particular, that this is going to expose the Sunsetters because five of the six of them are going to be voting the same way. And it's weird that he named five of the six of them because Kiefer didn't tell them that he was the one that came up with it. So there's a bit of a mess there. And then there was a bit of a disconnect between them and Jed and Ty, who were a little bit more hesitant to do the flip. And then Beth was kind of on board, but then she realized that, okay, well, Kiefer and I will need to vote to keep Ro, or one of us will. We'll both have to claim a vote so that we keep our alliance a secret so we don't get exposed. And so we can pretend to still be working with the other side. But that would mean I wouldn't get to hang out with Ty as much, and we wouldn't be able to have our showmance because we'd have to pretend to be on opposite sides, not like each other. And so it would just be a lot simpler if we could just vote out Josh. And so they kind of came to that conclusion, but Toya was very upset about it. This is dumb. We're just doing this for no good reason. And so Toya then, at the last minute, tried to make the flip happen again. And it seems like, ultimately, Tina and Tara were not willing to go along. Obviously, Vic was not willing to go along. They needed Tina and Tara to make the vote happen. Or they needed at least Tina to make the vote happen with six votes. And so if Tina is not on board with the last minute flip, then the flip is not going to happen.
Well, yeah, what do you think the sin was here? Was that they just wanted too badly to keep the alliance a secret?
They had too much going good their way to the point where they overdid it. They really did. Like they were in a position where they, whatever happens, they're going to hit 11 or sorry, 12. They're going to have majority like real soon, real soon. And the worry about the votes, where the votes are going to go, trying to do too much with, like, okay, these two people don't vote with us. We'll find these two people to put here. Like, it's too much. You're doing way too much to try and get things done. And I think that ultimately they were their own biggest enemies, in that they, through all of this indecision and waffling, they created their opposition, which is now going to be facing them. Like, it's ridiculous how badly they played this.
Yeah, Rob, they had the majority. They had a secret majority. We know how dominant that can be.
Yeah.
They didn't understand how powerful they were. When they were thinking about flipping the vote, they thought they had to like level six it, where they were like, we need to hide our votes. It needs to be 6-5 or 7-4. Like, it's got to be this, and we'll have to lie about the vote afterward. A few days ago, when they had considered the flip the first time, Beth tested the waters with Austin, and Austin was like, yeah, it would be fine if Ro left. All they needed to do was commit to a decision early on, then not waver from it. If they wanted to vote Ro out, all they had to do was use their connections and their structure to make the entire house think that that's what the entire house wanted. It would have been very easy for Beth, Ty, and Jed to go to Austin and be like, hey, we think this is the move for our alliance. And Austin would have been on board. She would have talked Brayden into it. They would have been in. Tina would have gone to Tara. She would have convinced Tara to do it. Like the entire House would have voted Roe out, and this alliance would have been running the game still. But instead, they underestimated the amount of influence they had in the game. And then they waffled back and forth on the decision. And then they made a last minute pitch to try to flip it. And then Kiefer blew up the spot even more. And then they lost the HOH to one of the few people that would just straight up gun for them anyway.
Yeah. Okay. If you have the power, wield it, you know? Don't, you know, try so hard to hide if you have the numbers. Okay. So, Jenny, we end up seeing Victoria sit down with Beth. And Beth wants to, like, put a little bug in Victoria's ear of, like, make sure your eyes aren't closed. Those boys haven't given you any attention. And, you know, Kyle doesn't talk nice about you.
Yeah, so she says, look, you know, look who's paying attention to you now. And she's like, well, I feel like I actually do talk to Kyle. And she's like, well, he doesn't talk nicely about you. The dynamic
he said you're not
between
that spicy.
Beth-
you're very mild.
Yeah. Don't eat a glass of milk with you. no, but the dynamic between Beth and Victoria is so good, and it's only getting better. But it was very like, hey girl, I'm really looking out for you. Like, let me fill you in on what's going on. And, you know, Victoria's just like, oh, interesting. Well, I guess I just didn't know, you know, I thought I was kind of smart, but you know, I'm just, and I love this about her. She loves to reinforce, I'm a party girl. Like that is her way. That is like her phrase to say that she's like, you know, not playing the game very, very hard and like to bring down her target with people. And it's just so blatant. Like she literally says, you know, I thought that I was smart, but I'm really just a party girl.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to use that.
Your help.
As we all know, party girls are not smart.
Yeah.
So
look, I'm a party guy. What do you want from me?
What party is happening in the BB Can house in the first place? Like everyone, you know, I'm making everyone think that I'm just here to party. Like what party?
Yeah.
The ball pit? The McDonald's 5-year-old birthday party? That's the party?
Those were good times back in the day.
Yeah. I'm here for the party. I'm here for the party. Anytime people are mad at me, like, look, I'm a party guy.
What can I do?
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want from me?
You can't argue with that.
Yeah. And then we had this conversation with Kiefer, with Tara and Tina. First off, Tara, I think I'm probably alone with this, but every time I hear Tarantina, I think people are talking about Quentin Tarantino.
Yes. Yes.
Is this a thing?
Once upon a time in Hollywood, Tina said no to a flip. I think most people say Tina and Tara, right? Which helps, right? Because you don't get the Taran in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think that people are saying Taran? That throws you and say if it's Taran, Tarantino.
The Taran
well,
in
yes.
there.
Well,
just to make
you know,
it more confusing.
When people say Tarantino, there's there's a bit of a Taran in there as well.
Yeah. Okay. So,
so many T's in this, like all the T in the house.
Yeah. Yes, all the T's. But yeah. Puya, I'm just so bummed out about Kiefer that this feels like that when I hear people talk about their kids and that it feels like a quit.
Yeah, it's like you're bumming us out, man. Like, yeah. Stop it. Like that.
Make
night,
me feel like it's not a quit. Make me feel like he wants to stay.
Rob, make Rob. You feel like it?
Yeah.
just think of the beach, Rob. Think of the beach. That's you're what you need to do.
Okay. Why, what's on the beach?
That's what he was saying when he was upset. He was like,
yeah, that's what he tells himself.
Oh, yes,
he meditates and thinks about the beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't want to come on like, well, I do want to start yelling and calling Kiefer a quitter, but I'm trying not to.
Yeah. I think deep down he doesn't want to, but I think when he's down on himself, that's his move of like, I'll leave. Like the in that conversation on the feeds that night, he was specifically talking about how he did Victoria dirty and he didn't want Tina to get any of the backlash, so he would go on the block so Tina wouldn't have to deal with it. So in his core, he's a protector of his crew. He really is. But ultimately, it is, again, as a viewer, as a fan of the game, as an enthusiast to play this game, it's a bit of a bummer to see someone be like this and be so down on themselves when things don't go their way. What you like to see in moments like this is a phoenix rising from the ashes, not a phoenix rolling around in the ashes. You want the rise. You don't want the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of fun to watch Phoenix roll around in the ashes.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a ball fun pit, clip,
roll,
yeah.
Yeah. Roll around in the ball pit.
Well, they're trying to put out their own fire. What's happening?
Stop, drop, and roll. That's what they teach you to put the fire out.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
He's trying to get the fire off of him. So maybe the laying down is actually the strategy.
Stop, drop, roll.
Yeah. I do want to be clear. Kiefer is mopey. He is not Carol. He is not, yeah. He has not talked about quitting. He has not asked anyone to vote him out. He just has some mopey moments. And I think we're all a little bit we were scarred from Carol.
Yeah. I just wonder that, Taryn, he's a fan. I wonder if he knows not to say those particular phrases, but is saying things like, oh, I should go on the block. My life is fine. Like, I have to take one for the team. Like, is he trying to engineer an honorable exit from the game?
I would say no. He's been working.
Okay, good. Good.
He has his moments, but like he plans to be there.
Okay.
Well, I think it helps now that he, a lot of what we see in this episode is prior to, or well, pretty much everything. Yeah, everything is prior to nominations. And we see that, he has the conversation with Victoria where she is letting him know that it's not, that he's not the target. So I think that, we're going to see a little bit more life in Kiefer after this episode, not to be like giving spoilers or it's not even a spoiler. But I just think that the fact that, knowing he was going to go up on the block and not realizing that he wouldn't be the target is probably what really got him down. But that's probably giving him some more life now. And he isn't totally giving up.
To me, and I don't think he's metagaming it this way, but he's not in a bad position from an editing standpoint. He's kind of getting the Ryan Ballantyne. And if you remember, Ryan got himself safety from the nation. And I think Kiefer is someone who could very well get safety from the nation should something have been injected into the game. I don't think he's I'm not going to say he's metagaming it because I don't think he has that in him, but that's not a bad look ultimately as far as sympathy goes in the event that a twist falls in your lap.
Yeah.
They used a tactic in this episode that they could easily use on Kiefer to make Kiefer look like a mastermind at any point in this game. Big Brother Canada loves doing that.
Yeah. I did like that Tarantino told him to, why don't you sleep on it? Yeah. Maybe don't go tell the HOH right now you want to go on the block. Maybe think about it. But we ended up seeing Toya talk to Victoria, and we saw LaToya tell Victoria she doesn't want to kiss her ass, which Victoria would have liked it if she said, I do want to kiss your ass. She would have preferred that.
Like, if you have the choice between somebody kissing your ass and somebody anything but kissing your ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to choose the kissing your ass option because what else am I going to get? I'm scared. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's kissing your ass. That's a good place to be. That means I know where you are. And it's,
you've been and at my ass. Three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've never heard Taryn break down the game theory of ass kissing.
Yeah. People say this all the time. They're like, I'm not going to be fake and go kiss ass. No, that's they're not going to like that. Like, no, they're going to like it. Exactly what they want you to do.
The other thing is that, like, if you're not going to kiss their ass, you don't say that you're not going to kiss their ass. Like, you just maybe scale back the kiss. Like, you're maybe just like, in the area, and not quite going for it, and just keeping your distance. But like with Victoria, like Beth is a huge ass kisser. Wow. And she doesn't like that from her. And she sees it in her. It's just the fact that like LaToya goes the opposite direction and is acknowledging, I'm not going to kiss your ass, and laying it out there. So there's no interpretation of it. Like, you can't even say like, well, she didn't really try to kiss my ass. It's like, no, she straight up said there will be no kissing of the ass tonight or ever. Yeah. And I think that's where LaToya went wrong. It's like, you don't have to actually do it. You could just not say that you're not going to do it.
So you want to like signal like, hey, I'm open to ass kissing. If you want to present
the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to say it's off the table.
Exactly.
Yeah. You gotta warm it up a little.
If you want it to be.
Yeah.
I think in the art of ass kissing,
yes,
ass theory dictates you want to come off like it's an authentic ass kissing and not an artificial ass kissing.
Yeah.
The more authentic, the better.
Yeah. If you really sort of like give the tell that it's inauthentic, that's almost as bad as to say you're not going to do it.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. This was good.
Be
this
open
was
productive. To it.
Don't dictate.
Yeah. Jerped is on top of this. Okay. Oh, yeah. So.
Top of the ass.
Yeah. Taryn, but this was like that time on Game of Thrones when Tyrion was telling everybody like who he was going to marry yes. Cersei's daughter off to and told everybody a different name. Was Victoria this good that she set this trap?
No, this is what I was talking about when I said they used a tactic tonight that they could use to make Kiefer look like a genius at any point they want. This is something
revisionist history.
Canada has actually done before as well. And I talked about this earlier today, but like this is the kind of thing that they'll include in an edit because it's something that is easily told that looks impressive, but is actually pointless and usually almost always counterproductive. Like every single player that has ever played Big Brother has thought, I'm going to plant some false information here and I'm going to see if it gets back to me. And what usually actually happens is people go, why are they lying to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they say fake information to me? The idea that this is what tripped Beth up is absurd. Beth was already caught from the flip that happened earlier. The conversations that happened between Austin and Brayden, Kyle and Roe, they compared notes on Beth prior to this. In fact, later in this week, Vic is going to be Brayden's going to ask Vic, like, hey, they're saying you've been saying my name. She's going to be like, what? Why? What? Me?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I say that? They're clearly lying to you. So this was just, it's one of those things that they like to do with the editing.
Okay. This sounds like, oh, wow, this is like really good for Victoria.
I mean, that's the thing is that Victoria is fun. Everything she's doing is fun. How much of it is calculated is up to the person who perceives it. I personally do not subscribe to it being like top level five head maneuvering. I do respect it for the fun that it's been giving me, truly. But yeah, I do think ultimately like LaToya walks in, you're going to tell her anything you're able to tell her to like leave you alone. And like, that's kind of what it was for me.
Okay. All right. So Victoria is the HOH. She gets a lot of perks in her being the HOH. Jenny, I have a Canada question for you.
Love that.
She got a gift card I'm not exactly sure. At first, I thought they said she got an OLD gift card. And then I Googled
OLG.
And I Googled it. And then all I got was like search results for what do you do with old gift cards?
Old gift cards?
Yes.
It's yes. Expired.
Also want an OLD gift card.
What is an OLG gift card?
It.
Yes.
Unused gifts. Okay, so it's OLG. So it's Ontario Lottery and Gaming, I believe is what it stands
yes.
for. So it's our gambling company. I don't know.
So she got a gift card for lottery tickets,
essentially,
scratchers.
But not scratch yeah. like scratchies. Like she can buy like how? Well, I don't remember the denomination she got, but she could buy a whole whack load of bingo
whack load.
Whack load.
That is a whack.
A whole whack of them.
Now, is that a term in Canada for a bunch
Probably.
Of lottery tickets?
Listen,
that they sell. Come on out and play OLG. Get your tickets by the whack load.
Yeah, I pulled that one straight out of the tickle trunk, actually. but I assume that she could just spend that on, you know, lottery tickets. And, you know, that's potentially something
yeah.
fruitful. You could end up winning even more money.
Yeah.
So it's like the gift of the gift of gambling, which... What a gift.
Yeah. But yeah. What a story it would be if Victoria goes on to lose Big Brother, but then wins a whack load of money in the lottery.
That's a whack. Yeah, no, that'd be great. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad situation. Yeah. I personally have purchased the BB can scratchers back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They were fun. Didn't win all that much. But imagine losing that and then winning the money in the scratchy.
Yeah.
This will be the best HOH ever.
What's the game on the Big Brother scratchies? Because I've never bought them.
I got them, I think, in BB Can 6, and you had to like find the vetoes. I believe the vetoes were like the sign for the big money, if I remember correctly.
You had to like whack them, right?
Exactly. Whack them with a coin and then find the
in order to find the load.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The
gotta find the load. Yes.
Yeah. I'd be happy just to walk away with a whack load at the Wario Casino.
Now that's what? Money right there. It's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut.
Okay. All right. That we see a little bit of Austin and Brayden, and they don't trust Beth, and that we get set up for Brayden is going to go with Victoria to go to Wendy's. And Tara, look at Victoria. Wendy's 2 weeks in a row.
You know, you can't. Don't try and get in between Victoria and her Wendy's. It's not going to work. Here we go. It's time for Wendy's. She's going to get a message from home.
Yeah. Okay.
Rob, I'm just grateful that you're always on the Monday recap so that I can get you discussing Wendy's every week. That's my personal gift of the season.
Yeah. You got it. Well, Monday night, I want it to be very accessible for everybody. Let's hold everybody's hand to where we are in the week. And let's talk about Wendy's.
Yes. The most important part of the week.
Because it looks like everybody went with chicken strips for Wendy's.
So I spent a bit of time during the episode trying to figure out what Brayden ordered because... spoiler from Brayden's real life friend Kirsten McInnes. Apparently he's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And so the first thing he says is, okay, Korean barbecue burger. And so it's possible that he got the plant-based version of it. But then they were talking about getting chicken strips. And then it looked like he was eating like maybe a salad. I really was very invested in what Brayden was eating because there's not really a lot of options if you're a vegetarian at Wendy's.
I'm scandalized.
Well, is it possible because Kirsten's a vegetarian too, is it possible that he's a vegetarian when he's around other vegetarians?
I mean, that's what I was trying to figure out. I was like,
are we saying that he's a fake vegetarian?
That might be the butt kissing move of vegetarianism.
Or maybe he just got into the house and he's like, listen, if my only option outside of slop is Wendy's, I'm not eating French fries and a Frosty and that's it. Like, I'm getting my protein. Give me the chicken strips.
I don't know. It's a lot more likely that he's a fake meat eater for the sake of the ad, right?
Oh,
yeah, no, for sure.
Interesting.
For sure.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. No, he's lying to Kirsten this whole time. And that's why he's going to be an excellent Big Brother player.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I did not see him eating any chicken fingers in the footage we got. But I was watching intently because I really wanted to know. There was a Frosty and it did look like Victoria was eating some sort of chicken cylinder type looking thing.
You know,
I guess it was a strip.
Taryn, is that the move if somebody takes you for Wendy's that you just order a second thing of what they wanted and then give your lunch to the HOH?
Well, no, because I think you have to order something separate so that you can talk about as many different food items as you can, right? Like that's why they make them order like a 3-course meal every time.
Okay. All right. Please, Leah, update us on the live feeds, Taryn, if you see, what is Brayden eating in the house?
I honestly fully expect that the Wendy's order is not an order. It's more of a discussion between the house guests and production as to like, could I get this? Sorry, they ordered that last time. So you're going to have to.
We need a new product.
You're going to have to choose between these two, actually. Do I have to eat it? No, you just have to say that you're going to eat it.
Yeah. Imagine if you like finally got asked to do Wendy's and like you've just been craving a Baconator, let's say, and you're just like, oh my God, so-and-so asked me to Wendy's. I'm so excited. I'm finally going to get that Baconator. And then production's like, yeah, actually, Victoria got the Baconator last week. So we're going to need you to get, yeah, you're going to have to get the spicy chicken. Sorry.
All right. Victoria's on the block.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you think they really, you have to get something that has not been taken? It's like a Wendy's draft every week?
Well, I mean, they want to showcase, they want to showcase all of their products. So I don't know if they're just getting the same thing. They're not getting their full dollar that they spent on the ad spot.
Yeah, it's
like, just a single dollar.
We paid a whack load for this.
They did pay a whack load. Like, I'm sure of it.
If you want me to say Southwest avocado salad out loud for the cameras, I will. But you better give me that Baconator and we'll lie about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would much rather do that than be like late to the draft. Then what's the benefit of the Wendy's? I'll give it away to someone else to have it.
Completely. Do not sully the name of the Southwest avocado salad. It is delicious.
Maybe that's why she brings in like three really full bags of Wendy because there's the meal that they ordered. And then there's the meal that they actually
ate. They get to eat.
Seems too big for what they ordered.
Yeah,
like they have like three. They got chicken strips and fries and Frosty, and the bags are huge.
No,
it's a prop bag also.
Like the inflated plastic bags that they use to like stuff like something that you buy in the store, and it's like there's just like some fries at the bottom. It's like, look at all these bags.
Yeah, because remember last week Victoria had like a emotional story about her her mom always got a baked potato. Where was the baked potato this week, Victoria?
She already ordered it.
She had it. She wanted something new.
She didn't. I thought the baked potato was reminded her of home. Like, all
it's
right,
off
I had
the board
that.
Now, Rob.
Yeah.
We had that moment. And
when
so
she
now
looks at baked potato, she thinks of home.
All right. Enough. Look, you got enough Wendy's talk, all right?
That's I came for, actually. So I'm good. I can go now.
All right. Victoria has... this is what I really came here to talk about. Victoria got a video, Puya, okay? That maybe you could break this down on Puya After Dark sometime. But what is going on with MVP that Victoria has a best friend and then her best friend's brother is her boyfriend?
That's just
her
convenient.
Best friend. Yes, that's the combo. That's
I've never heard of this.
So which came first is my question.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
I think the best friend came first. And then, you have a brother?
That would be the convenient way. I would like it to be the other way, where like she's dating this guy and then she meets his brother and they just hit it off and become the bestest of friends. I like that. Yeah. I like that narrative better.
All right, Rob, I know what you're saying here. Like longtime Rob's podcast listeners will say, wait, Rob, isn't your wife your sister's friend? Yes. But then they didn't they created major problems in the relationship.
Spicy.
It was, yeah.
Should we talk about it, Rob?
Spicy V. So, yeah, I guess so. But then it wasn't like that they were just like, it feels weird.
I mean, I had an ex who I became I would say his sister and I became like best friends. So I think that it can happen. It's just trying to figure out how, what we're saying, who came first, who was in the picture first? Did she just get to know the brother and they have so much in common or something like that and they became best friends? Or I don't know.
I think the thing that that stands out is not necessarily just that she's best friends with her boyfriend's brother, but also that like it's a trio.
Yeah, right? They have an MVP.
Like they hang out all the time. Yeah.
Like it's not like, oh, I became best friends with my boyfriend's brother or vice versa. And, you know, sometimes we go and we hang out with them or whatever. It's like, no, no, no. It's three peas in a pod here. And this is the pod.
Mm. Are they twins? Because it's is it one of those things where like twins are very attached to each other. So it's like, you listen, if we're going to date, my brother has to come along all the time and you guys are just going to have to become best friends.
I don't know. Lots of questions. I would love to get some more info on MVP.
Yeah. I'm very surprised now that Terrence said that Three Peas in a Pod is not a movie yet. I feel like that's got to be a thing somewhere. I don't know why that's not been mentioned
about
before.
This specific situation or Three Peas in a Pod should be the name of a movie.
I could very well see a movie where like Jim Carrey and Owen Wilson are brothers and like one of them's dating someone else and like the other one's best friends. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. I don't know. Book it, Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I don't know if I'll watch it, but I feel like
2013 from Singapore.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Maybe another time. All right. All right. So Brayden spills the tea. You can't trust Beth. And Victoria's like, all right, we nailed Beth. And obviously LaToya told. All right. So we see the Sunsetters. They need a plan. All right. They need to send Jed and Ty to go up and talk to Vic. They need to throw a pawn up there. It's going to be Tara. Is it Tara or Tara?
What? I mean, did you just say the same thing?
No.
What did he say?
I would say Tara, but is it Tara?
Tara or Tara?
Tara.
It's spelled Tara with an E, right?
Yes, T-E-R-A.
So I assume it's Tara. But yes, the plan is to get Tara up there because then the Sunsetters have the votes to send Tara out over Toya or Kiefer. And at this time, that's looking like the best play because it's going to be hard to convince her to put up Brayden or Austin. It seems like she's not willing to put up, Kyle or Ro. And that leaves the only other person left that is conceivably in the middle. And that's Tara.
Okay. The duo of Ty and it's Ty, Jed and Ty doesn't really do much good. You know what else throws me off? If I'm not throwing the whole podcast off with too much casual energy tonight. His name is Tashawn, but also Ty. Right?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that throws me off. I feel like it should be Tyshawn or Ty, but this is just that is Tashawn.
When you shorten
or
the
T.
word,
yeah,
you can change the pronunciation. GIF is not GIF just because, or is not necessarily GIF because of graphical, right? People say it can be GIF. Because it's a G there, or plenty of other things, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you're not going to call him Tih, like for short. Like that doesn't really.
Yeah.
That doesn't roll off the tongue.
Doesn't hit the same.
Doesn't hit the same.
Sounds like you're like about to sneeze or something. Like.
Okay.
It's like a little baby sneeze.
Big Meech wasn't Big Mish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
All right. Well, then also
that guy was on Survivor.
Yeah. You're not feeling this, Rob.
Yeah, I know. So Kiefer is also going to go to Victoria and make his pitch to go up on the block. So she says, look, I have a target and don't worry about it. You'll see when she's gone. You're not my target, Kiefer. Don't worry about it. So we got to our nominations and sure enough, Victoria's nominations are going to be Kiefer, and then it's going to be LaToya, second nominee. Taryn, the way that this is set up this season, could the HOH just like on the fly come up with just a different nomination, whatever they're feeling?
I would hope so. I mean, I am honestly very pleased with how they're doing it right now. I've always been a huge critic of the my first nomination is... picture shows up.
Yeah.
My second nomination is like, thank you for saying the name. It just makes a lot more sense. We also don't need the shortlist. The shortlist is pointless.
Only for Wendy's.
We're heading straight into it. They're going, I'm nominating Kiefer and Toya. And here's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was incredible, by the way.
No. That was great. We do know things.
Stay real because things are about to get spicy.
So spicy. Going to be super spicy now. Where's the lie? Where's the lie? Things are going to get spicy.
Maybe that's why LaToya didn't want to kiss her ass, is because it's a spicy ass and she's like, you know what I mean?
Might have burned the lips a little.
Yeah.
Too spicy. Too spicy.
Too spicy.
Okay. She would have needed that tall glass of milk.
Exactly.
All right. We spent an hour talking about the TV show, but there's so much more to talk about here in this week. Does anybody else have anything to say about the TV show, or should we just completely go just haywire and get completely jerked and talk about the spoilers?
I'll say again, if I haven't said it already, that I liked the episode. Compared to last week's episode, where we got basically nothing real, this was a pretty accurate representation, I assume, of what happened before the eviction, but I can't know for sure. But at least a pretty accurate representation of what happened after the eviction, after the HOH competition. We saw a lot of the conversations happen. Apart from, again, the Game of Thrones Tyrion moment, everything was pretty spot on in terms of what actually went down. And so I was very happy, and it was very, you know, they captured it well.
Okay,
the last couple episodes have been good, and I think that it's just the fact that there's so much going on constantly that they have enough footage that they have to use it. You know what I mean? They have to tell the story because there's just so much going on to actually use, and we're maybe not getting as much fluff, thank God.
All right. So if you're thinking about leaving, look, we got a whack load of stuff to talk about. It's been a busy week, so stick around for the spoilers. Coming up right after, I thank our friends over at Brook Linen. How's your comforter looking these days? A lot like how you feel, maybe a little lumpy, maybe a little deflated, not with the same fluff that it used to. Maybe your room isn't looking like an HOH room. Well, maybe it's time for a little refresh with Brook Linen. Brook Linen creates beautiful, high-quality bedding and home essentials. They work directly with manufacturers to give you a fair price. No middlemen, no markups. Their comforters come in lightweight, all-season, ultra-warm to suit every type of sleeper and lifestyle. There's even a weighted comforter option for stress relief that they offer a variety of materials, including eco-friendly recycled down alternative. And Brook Linen's comforters pair perfectly with their sheets, pillows, and duvet comforters. There's a reason Brook Linen has over 75,000 five-star reviews and counting. I love my Brook Linen sheets. We swear by them. We've got extras for when they're in the laundry, because I don't want to go a night without sleeping on my Brook Linen sheets that everybody asked me about it. Yes, we can't get enough of our Brook Linen sheets, especially now that we turn the clocks back an hour. I don't want to get out of bed. Treat yourself to ultimate comfort with Brook Linen's comforter collection. Go to brooklinen.com. Use promo code ROB to get $25 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Enter promo code ROB for $25 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com, promo code ROB, or as I like to say, no sleep till Brook Linen.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Taryn, you have so much room to move around now.
Yeah.
I just did that was the Kyle celebration as he walks into the bedroom with Victoria.
That was a weird dance.
It was so weird.
So weird. Is that how they dance in Alberta? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is not a hoedown. Like, it wasn't even a country dance. It was just like a weird, I don't know.
Too spicy?
It's not spicy enough.
Yeah. Or,
well, that's awkward.
Yeah.
It was.
Okay.
Him and Beth have a lot more in common than they think, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
All right. Taryn, It's been such a busy week in Big Brother Canada. Everybody is living for the feeds. Could you give us the short version in case anybody needs to get caught up?
All right. So the short version is that this is a house divided, Rob. There is a new alliance in town, and they call themselves the Oddballs. This alliance is Victoria, Kyle, Rohan, Austin, Brayden, Tina, and Tara. A seven-person alliance that is fighting the Sunsetters, who you guys know. And the Sunsetters also kind of have Tina and Tara, but not really at this point. But Tina and Tara are basically going to be flipping back and forth according to whichever way they feel like going in the moment. But this house has two teams now, and they do not like each other very much. So Victoria puts up Toya and Kiefer. She's claiming that she wants to take out Kiefer to the Sunsetters, but they have a pretty good idea that she actually wants to take out Toya. The veto is played and won by Jed. So Jed has the veto. And Jed was told that he could do whatever he wants with the veto prior to the veto. He was told even that he could name a replacement nominee because she wants to work with him. However, after the veto, Victoria brought Jed and Ty up into the HOH room and said, "This is going to be a bad conversation, but use the veto. I'm putting Ty on the block." And many other very ridiculous things. And if you want to know exactly what that conversation was like, you can listen to this morning's live feed update.
Great job with Maggie. Yeah.
But the long and short of it is that Jed did not use the veto because he did not want Ty going on the block. And that means one of Toya or Kiefer will be evicted this week. And as of right now, Tina and Tara, who are the swing votes, plan to evict LaToya.
Why?
Because they are casting their lot with the Oddballs. Basically, ever since Thursday night when LaToya tried to make that last minute flip, Tina has been backing away from the Sunsetters and her relationship with Toya. There hasn't been a lot of communication. Toya has been very sort of upset with Tina for backing away. And they really haven't really hashed it out yet. Tina and Tara are just leaning more toward, hey, if we vote out Toya, it doesn't blow up our spot with the Oddballs. And they're both closer to Kiefer at this point anyway. And they want to keep Kiefer in.
So, Puya, my question is that I've seen a lot of talk about how, well, Victoria totally screwed herself. She's going out soon. Why is she such a target after this?
I mean, think about it. The fact of the matter is Victoria has riled up an entire half of the house. Like, there's a half of the house that's very appreciative for what she's done, and she is now part of that alliance. She's part of the Oddballs. Her not putting anyone else but the Sunsetters up kind of solidified an Oddballs contingent. That's great. But then you look at every other person on the other side. She's literally toyed with them, Rob. Like, when this veto was won by Jed.
What toyed with them?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Big time toyed with them. She played a mental gymnastics that no one else could have qualified for. So she was the sole participant and the only gold medal winner of this mental Olympics. No one else knew what was going on. She played them six ways through. She gets the result she wants at the end for the veto ceremony and then kind of still plays it up. Like, it's been, she's just been, you know, popping balloons all around the house with everybody. And now it's at that point where, because we're talking about, you know, why would Tarantina, no relation to Quentin, why would they not go with the Sunsetters here? They're in a position where everyone next week, like, they'll want them anyways. Like, I think those two are going to be fine. Like, are Jed and Ty going to go after them? No. Everyone on that side now will be going after Victoria for the anguish that she put them through. And all of this is honestly comes down to the fact that she went to LaToya, Jed, and Ty. And she tried to make something. They left her on red. They did not, you know, they ghosted her. And she's coming back with a vengeance. So there you go.
Jenny, is there any chance, though, that this could flip? Is there any way that we could see that where Kiefer can go and LaToya can stay?
I mean, I will never say never with this house. I mean,
like, anything's,
I think that
possible here.
Well, we've had two votes and, you know, there's been waffling in both of these votes. You know, majorly last week, you know, we only really saw it in the episode where it was like 30 minutes to the eviction. This was happening for a full day or so, and just continued. So, and then obviously the Julie eviction was supposed to be Josh, and that changed as well. So I wouldn't rule out any flipping, with this cast. There's a lot going on, but I do think that because it's basically up to Tina and Tara, and I don't think that it makes a ton of sense for them to, I do think that Kiefer is better for them, to stay. So I don't really see them going back on that, but again, there's a lot of time between now and Thursday. So things definitely could change. I'm not going to rule it out, but it is looking bad for LaToya right now.
Yeah.
Which is sad because yeah. I need more of this LaToya versus Victoria thing now. I feel like we're going to majorly miss out on a really good storyline if we lose LaToya on Thursday. I still think that there's plenty of juice to squeeze with a lot of other, you know, dynamics, but I would really love to see this war continue to wage just at least another week.
Taryn, give me some odds here. What are the chances that the house could flip by Thursday?
You know, it's Monday night. I would say like 20%.
Oh, okay. Look.
Yeah. At the end of tomorrow night, if there's still no talk of it, then that's going to drop to like 5%.
Hmm.
If it's going to happen, it's got to happen soon. They've got to start talking soon about it, because if they don't, I don't think it's going to look great.
This is one of those times where if this was BBUS, I'd say diary room, you know what to do. Come on. Come on. Kiefer's not giving us anything. You got LaToya. Like, do what's best for the show. Come on.
Well, this is Big Brother Canada, so you're like, all right, production, put those vetoes in those balls, because Toya is searching. She's looking.
Yeah. So, all right. Taryn, Wednesday night, how's this going to come across on the show? Are we going to see Spicy V get like a mastermind edit? Is she going to get a Spicy V for villain edit when this ultimately plays out with the veto?
You know, I would be very inclined to say that she will get, I mean, Big Brother Canada will always try to give the HOH a mastermind edit. Like, even if they're doing something dumb, they'd like to try to give the HOH a mastermind.
Remember
edit.
Hamza?
Yeah. You know, there are very rare occasions where it's like Kevin's the HOH, but Ika's the mastermind, right? So I would be inclined to say yes, but at the same time, I don't know how happy production is with Victoria at the moment. Considering some of the things that she's been saying on the feeds. So if there's ever a time for them to not go with a mastermind edit for the HOH that is not deserved, this might be the time.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, and there's plenty of footage of her also just fumbling like crazy.
Yes.
In all of these conversations. So they have plenty of footage if they want to make it look as messy as it actually has been. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think that very well could be happening just because they've had to have like a talking to her about some things she's been saying. So, yeah, Taryn, you might be onto something that she might not be getting that hero edit come Thursday.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Puya, we'll because see. Then I guess the other way that they could go is then if they really want to like prop up, you know, Jed and Ty underdog storyline, that they could really sort of like, you know, hang Victoria out to dry.
Yeah. And the truth is, I think Jed and Ty will probably end up getting that underdog look. Like I mentioned earlier, I think everything was looking like Kyle and Roe were going to be the two underdog. Mm-hmm. In this scenario, but they don't really play to that role well. I think these two guys would be a better role for that. I do think so. But like Jenny mentioned, there's so much footage on Victoria fumbling the bag here. But then the results are in a way where they can make it seem like Terrence said, where like the HOH is the leader of the Rus. So come Wednesday, it'll be fun to see regardless, because like, and I'm speaking to the casual audience who stuck around for this part of the podcast, but has not been watching the feeds. Go find the video footage of these last couple of days. Like this is, we're talking, this is some like never seen before in the last half a decade levels of Big Brother feeds. Like it's been phenomenal. It's worth a look if the show doesn't end up doing it justice, which in an hour, it's a lot to ask for them to do.
Yeah. Maggie said it was the best day of Big Brother. Taryn, how hyperbolic did you get about the live feeds this week?
I mean, I wouldn't call it the best day of Big Brother.
What was the best day of Big Brother of adult life?
Dan's funeral was the best day of Big Brother. But
even on the feeds, that was playing on the feeds. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, more so on the feeds. I would even say that there were better days this week. That was just a very entertaining conversation. The feeds have been great, and yesterday was definitely very fun. The problem is that that fun was cut short by the early veto ceremony.
Yeah. So, Taryn, you talked about this on the live feed update this morning, that usually the veto ceremony takes place on a Monday. It got sped up to all of a sudden on Sunday. I mean, are there any tinfoil hat theories as to what was there something happening where production wanted to sort of like rush to the line of scrimmage and get the playoff? Where they did they want the nominations to change?
You know, it's hard to say.
Well, apparently, they didn't.
Today on the feeds again, Toya was searching the ball pit for some kind of power. She was searching other rooms, and then we had this like weird like wah, wah sound effect over the loudspeaker, followed by everyone like rushing the have not room and the feeds cutting. But then when the feeds came back, it was like nothing happened. Like there was nothing there. But there were definitely people who were like, oh, maybe this is why the ceremony was earlier. Maybe there's some kind of twist that that's about to come into play. Given that we did not hear anything about a twist coming into play in tonight's episode, that is seeming less likely, but it's still a theory that's out there.
Jenny, let me throw a theory out there. Production felt like we've got such a great episode that we need to like stop this right here. This is our episode, and then at least give us then more time to put the rest of this in the Thursday show.
Yeah, I don't know how many people they've got on staff right now, and maybe they just said, you know what, we got to get the crew working on editing this part, and you know, we'll save the rest for Wednesday. I truly don't know, or maybe they're thinking, wow, wasn't it fun seeing all of the flipping that happened between you know, the veto ceremony and the eviction last week? Like, let's extend the time even longer. Let's just get these nominations locked in so that you know, there's no more hypotheticals, and now they can just start flipping back and forth.
Was their intent. They have utterly failed. The feeds have been dead ever since.
Today's been quiet.
But what about the TV production schedule? Is that possible?
I mean, this is out of the ordinary in terms of how they normally edit their show and schedule their show. So typically if something like this happens, it's because there's some kind of holiday or like maybe the crew has.
Jenny,
was
there a Canadian holiday on Monday?
Not that I'm aware of. No. Mm. If it was, I didn't get the day off, so
I do want to address, there are some people in the chat who are referencing this, that when Toya was searching in the ball pit, she did find a purple ball, which is unusual. There aren't many purple balls in there. I do not believe that this is relevant in any way, unless it's very specific to when she was searching right then. Other people have found purple balls in the ball pit before. Oh. She even talked to Beth afterward, and Beth was like, oh, you found the purple balls? Yeah, the boys had found two of them the other day. You know, not necessarily something that is super connected.
Yeah, you got something?
Yeah.
What if there's five purple balls and they represent Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet? And if you find all five,
yeah,
it's over. You overthrow the HOH. It's a coup d'etat.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He just figured it out.
Okay. There you go. All right. Anything else Big Brother Canada to talk about? I got a couple of questions also from the chat. You want to see what we got? Let's see.
Let's go.
All right. This is from Faison, who says, to what extent is Victoria's aversion to vote flips influenced by being left out of the week one Julie vote? Is the specter of Julie still hanging over the house?
Yes. I mean, basically, you know, for as much as Vic says, like, hey, I approached Toya and Jed and Ty and you guys turned me down. Vic has been after Toya since the feeds came on night one. She was trying to get Toya on the block. And she was the person who was closest to Julie. And, you know, and Julie is on Twitter like, go, Vic, get her. Like, there is definitely a part of this that feels like revenge for Julie, which honestly, I wish it was. Like, I wish that she would come out and say, like, this is for Julie, because, like, at least that would make sense instead of, like, what she's actually claiming, which, again, would take up too much time to try to explain right now, but involves Ty saying that she's smart. So I think that's definitely part of where this sort of animosity started, for sure.
Yeah.
Ty can't be saying that she's smart. She's a party girl. Let's not forget
party
this
girl,
guy.
Party girl.
Yeah. Party girl.
Puya, Sam Moore wants you to know. Well, actually, there's 6 Infinity Stones.
Okay, Sam Moore.
Okay, listen, it was a figure. I said 5, 6. I meant 7. Okay, I meant 7. Twitter, don't come at me.
Oh, they will.
I definitely did. Yeah, I did love the movies. Okay, don't at me. Okay. All right, we're on the same.
Okay. Trevor says, finish the sentence. BB Can 9 is the best season of Big Brother since blank. Mm. Okay. Is this a match game question? Okay. let's see.
I think most people would say 20.
That's my vote.
Yeah, I would say 20 would probably be it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're not going with the Shannon Gus rules for how to play this game.
Okay. Listen, I could say penis if you want. I just did. Sorry.
Well, the cat's out of the bag.
Okay. Mr. Robot Karen says, which side is more Fauté, Sunsetters or the Oddballs? Karen, I'm tempted to say that Fauté is the oddball side, but what do you think?
The answer is C, all of the above.
Yeah.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Whole house of Fauté.
Let's see. We have a go in and order small fries and a water. They'll throw you off the show. Okay. That's a Wendy's, Wendy's reference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't win HOH if you're not a Wendy's fan. Okay. And Trish says, this is one fantastic podcasting crew for a Monday night. Thank you for noticing.
Trish just got chirped.
Trish. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. All right. Anybody else have anything from Big Brother Canada? All right. Well, then that is a great segue into, all right, here's what's coming up tomorrow. Okay, check it out. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be Taryn is going to be with Mel Hulst. Taryn, back again on Tuesday. Get ready.
Yes.
Slow day, today. Slower day today?
There's a whole competition to recap from today.
Oh, what kind of competition?
It's good.
Yeah, it was a fashion competition.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I have 2 words.
Yeah.
Kyle's eyebrows.
What a tease.
That needs to be, like, it needs to be a Twitter account. If it hasn't been made already, someone is making the Kyle's eyebrows Twitter account.
Probably done now.
It's got to be done. And if not, and you're welcome for the idea if it's not.
All right. Then Tuesday night, it's going to be this week's roundtable, and the update on the stock watch should be a busy week once again. Taryn is going to be back with Melissa, and Chantel Francis is going to join the roundtable this week. Should be a lot of fun.
Yes, very excited. I've been hearing that that people might need some Big Brother stimulus checks after
yes, please.
After this week in the stock watch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are people posting their lost porn in terms of their portfolio?
I think so. And I've also heard that they've started to buy gorillas. Big Brother gorillas is another thing that they're doing recently.
Okay. Find out who has diamond hands and who has paper hands on the stock watch tomorrow night. All right. Look at this. This past Wednesday, I talked about Survivor Game Changers with Grace Leader and Asia Welch. Had a lot of fun talking about the 31st best season of Survivor. That was Survivor Game Changers. But this week, we're talking about the 30th best season. And look at this lineup. It is going to be Ali Lasher and Uncle Kiwi. It's going to be Goaty Claws is going to join us here to talk about Survivor Karamoan, the 30th best season of Survivor. That is going to be recorded Wednesday night, but there's going to be live Big Brother Canada happening this Wednesday. So look for it late night on Wednesday. And then earlier today, I got to talk with one quarter of Jerps today. Puya Zambakili and myself talked with Sasha Joseph about this week's edition of 90 Day Fiancé.
Rob, you are also one quarter of Jerped.
Yeah,
one quarter of Jerped. I only talk to myself in the hours I'm not podcasting or on Clubhouse.
When is that?
That's the rest of the day. Like, Rob, what did you think of that? I didn't know.
There are hours?
Yeah. How do you think that went? Not so good. Yeah. Jenny, are you caught up on 90 Day yet?
I am not caught. I'm behind, but I'm prioritizing it this week.
How many of the 90 days are behind are you?
Oh, like a couple weeks.
They're almost over. They're almost over, just about.
But I've managed to stay like pretty unspoiled though, so that's good.
Yeah,
I don't get spoiled on 90 Day.
Okay.
I mean, there's no one's getting voted off, I guess. So there's like, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to see. You got to check it out. Yeah. All right. We're with Sasha Joseph, who's always very funny on this week's 90 Day Fiancé. And then on Thursday, I'll be talking with another quarter of Jerped, where Jenny
Jerped Week
is going to join Chappelle and myself as we're going to be watching season one, episode one of Beauty and the Geek. Jenny, is that right?
Yes, that is correct, and I'm very excited.
Okay, I've never seen it before.
It's gonna be a ride.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a ride.
All right, we're gonna check.
It's right up your alley. It'll be
check
great.
That out. If you missed it this past week, I watched the first episode of Battle of the Network Reality Stars with Chappelle and Brian Scally, and we got to see Dr. Will, Mike Boogie, and of course Will Weichel.
Can't forget him.
Yeah, you want to check that out.
Not to be missed.
Yeah, on the Battle of the Network Reality Stars. What else we got? Oh, of course, everything that's going on over at Patreon. robhaswebsite.com/patron. We've got our patron podcast feed. I'll be back with the First Lady of Podcasting with the patron 5 for 5. Every week, I'm doing an additional Survivor feedback show with a top 40 countdown. And this Friday, we are going to have the return of Patron Mafia, where we are going to have the great one quarter of Jerped back. Puya Zamakili is going to be co-hosting with, listen to this, Christian Hubicki is going to be co-hosting with Puya as Jordan Kalish takes us through another round of Patron Mafia. Puya, are you excited for that?
Very pumped, very pumped. I'm more nervous than ever before to be joined by someone in the booth, but I feel like Christian's going to carry me, and I'm very excited about it.
Okay. All right. We're going to be looking for players, and then, of course, we'll post everything to our patron podcast feed at robiswebsite.com/patron. And then, if you're watching us on YouTube, you don't miss an episode. Subscribe to us on YouTube, or what's the right verb for Twitch?
Follow us on Twitch.
Make sure you're jerped up on Twitch if you want to make sure you don't miss an episode. And ding the bell to be notified every day. So when Taryn goes live, that's how you'll know. So go ahead and check that out over on YouTube if you're watching the video version. And of course, follow us on social media at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter or at RHAP Grams over on Instagram. All right. Is that it? That's the last one? All right. Thank you so much.
Well, There's another half of Jerped actually will be live tomorrow at 2 p.m. The half of Jerped, a.k.a. TP, will be live 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow to recap the finale of the Celebrity Circle UK. Puya and I will be talking about the whole week of Celebrity UK Circle. And then starting tomorrow, we're going to start the regular season of The Circle and start having that coverage as well. But that's tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about what happened here with the finale, Puya.
Very excited. One half of Jerped, TP, it's all going down. Very excited to talk about TC, The Circle.
You need TP.
Yes.
TP
yes.
always comes through
yes.
for something.
Especially right? if yeah. somebody's going to be potentially going to kiss your ass. Always very important. Okay.
Yes, there precisely. We go.
Full circle. All right. Jenny, besides, hanging out and talking Beauty and the Geek, what do you have coming up?
Yeah, so that's coming up on Thursday. And then besides that, I've just been kind of hanging out. I did start a Twitch channel. I know, like, Rob, we talked a little while ago, and I said, no, I just hang out on other people's Twitch channels. And
no, you should.
I fell into the... Well, it's just... So I just like talking to people. So I'm not a big gamer, so... I did a little happy hour last Friday with Phil where we just Friday night unwind, just kind of talk to the chat, have a couple drinks. So it's been pretty fun getting to do some stuff on Twitch. Of course, sometimes on Sundays with the gang playing Among Us.
Yes, so I'm still waiting for when Phil puts makeup on you.
Oh, we can do that. Yeah, that's that. We'll get that queued up, and I'll let you know when that's happening, Rob, so you don't miss it. Yeah, and I would do that as well. I got some good ideas from the live feeds today. So, so yeah, if you want to sauce me a follow on Twitch, it's at twitch.tv/JennyAutumn.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, then
that's pretty much it.
How about you?
I'll be back talking about Masked Singer. Season 5, episode 2, going to be happening soon. Leon and I will back talk all about that. I do also stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/PuyaIsm. And then as far as other social medias, all platforms is still PuyaIsm. You can find me there as well.
Okay. All right. And then Taryn.
Of course, I'm always twitching. Always twitching there at twitch.tv.
Not twitching. No.
Twitching away.
Let me check on Taryn.
Is
that what Kyle's dance? Yeah, that was the dance. That was the dance.
Do the Twitch. Do the Twitch.
I hang out there. We talk feeds. We talk anything. We play Fall Guys. We play Among Us. And we win crowns. That's what we do.
Crowns, that's what you win in Fall Guys?
Yeah.
Not me.
And also when you win in life. So work out.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Well, this was such a fun podcast tonight.
It always is with Jerped.
Yes.
Jerped. Yeah. Jerped forever.
Yeah. All right.
Tatted on my knuckles.
Yes. All right. Well, this is so fun getting to come in and talk Big Brother Canada with y'all one Monday night. So I'll be back again next week to do it again. In the meantime, hope we have another great week of Big Brother Canada. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.